You know, whether you play video games or maybe you haven't picked up a controller for decades, there's probably a strong chance that you've heard about esports. It's a business that is estimated to be worth almost $1.5 billion. This is by 2020, which is 2 years away from that, with some players already competing for prize pools of up to $24 million. I mean, this prize money cannot be compared to other sporting codes. Esports are also hard to understand. They're filled with jargon. And they're not exactly like the sports we typically associate with competition on a global scale. So if you're looking to watch it, to understand it, or just get a better idea of what on earth it all means, this is your guide to esports and a look at how South Africa did at the World Electronic Sports Games. And joining us for that is Barry Lozada from Metal State. And they run this World Electronic Sports Games Africa qualifiers. Barry, good afternoon.
Hey, Zanya, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. You know, I am I don't know much about this. Earlier on, we were talking to Mark Fish about the faux pas that he made on social media. And he made the point that he's a 44-year-old, so maybe he shouldn't be on Twitter. And we had a good laugh about it. But ultimately, this is also social media, or even things like e-sport. It has its people, so it's not easy for all of us to understand. So I'm certainly new to it because of my son, who is just in love with this entire sporting code. So how would you describe it? What is esport?
Okay, well, firstly, I think there's at some point in everybody's life, we've all played some form of esports, or games rather. Let me start there. Mm-hmm. Games, whether it's Brick Breaker, Farmville, The Sims, whatever it is. The simple fact is what ends up happening is there's players out there that actually tend to put in a lot more time in games like Call of Duty, Counter-Strike, Dota. These are all games that if you don't really play a lot of games, you won't know what they are. But within the esports community, this is the standard for gaming in the world across the continent and the globe. And guys are actually putting in 8 to 10 hours a day to compete internationally or locally in tournaments that are being run by tournament organizers like Metal State, ESL, which is the largest tournament organizer in the world. Mm-hmm. They're responsible for some of the largest events. I mean, you can, on a weekly basis, there'll be a Counter-Strike tournament for prize pools of in excess of $1 million. And then, like you mentioned earlier, the Dota International, mm-hmm. $24 million. The team walked away with, I think, something between $7 and $9 million.
That is just incredible. So I was saying that, you know, they are very lucrative sporting codes out there, but this is right up there with some of the most lucrative codes. So explain to me, there's a game. I log in where I am here in South Africa. Say you're sitting somewhere in China and you log in and we compete against each other.
Okay, so that's where the problem is. So we're in South Africa, mm-hmm. and the biggest problem that gamers have in South Africa to deal with at the moment, which is probably why it's taken such a long time to take off in Africa, is the fact that there's a thing called latency, which means it's the amount of time it takes for your client-side information to reach the server and then back to the other,
right.
the other guy on the other side of the world. Mm. So generally what happens now is, we play locally within South Africa. So that's exactly where the World Electronic Sports Games comes in. They come and approach a tournament organizer like Metal State, and they say, would you like to run the qualifiers for Africa? And then the winners will then in turn be flown out to China to compete on what we call a LAN event, mm-hmm. which is an offline event where all the PCs are on state and they play on the local network, like you would work at work, for
right,
example.
Right.
And that's where they get to compete for the $5.5 million that's up for grabs.
And this is often in an arena that is packed to the yeah. rafters with fans watching these players do their thing. And they're even commentators. I think that's the part that I'm a little bit just shocked by, you know, because I've watched him watch someone play a game with commentary over it.
So those guys are called casters, shoutcasters, And those are guys that have an extensive understanding of the game. There's a lot of meta that we call that you need to understand why a player is doing something that he's doing, why he's not buying a specific gun on that round, or why he's buying a specific item because it'll help him later on, or it'll do this much damage, or it'll add this kind of flexibility. So there's a lot of technical aspect to the games that these guys play. Mm. There's five players on a side. And there has to be some kind of control amongst those and synchronicity between the players so that they can actually perform.
You see, now you use terminology, and I'm glad you explained it. That's another thing that sets this code apart. The terminology, like, you know, there's an FPS, the first person shooter, and all of some of the stuff that you've said. What are some of the basic terms?
So frag would be to kill someone. That's to get a kill rather in a game. Let's be honest, they're not really dying, but it depends on the genre of game that you're playing. So Counter-Strike will have its own group of terminology that they would use within an FPS game, and then Dota, which is an RTS, that'll have its own terminology as well. Mm-hmm. And when you kind of hang out in those specific genres of games, That's when you get those terminology. But like a noob, for example, is, I mean, pretty self-explanatory for me anyway. That's when a new person who plays a game, you call them a noob. And, I mean, the list goes on. And we talk in acronyms as well. So GGHF is good game. Have fun. Mm-hmm. So there's always this very, very specific talk, like in Counter-Strike. So you spoke about those casters earlier on.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, right? So one of the jobs that I have to do is I have to learn all the call outs within the map. So I have to know exactly what to refer to in a specific part of the map so that people listening and watching know exactly where that person is, right, so that they know where to look. So there's two bomb sites, and then leading up to the one bomb site, for example, on a map which is called Inferno, you get an alley which is referred to by the players as Banana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they would, that's when you would then points out that two players are pushing up Banana onto the B bomb site.
So we cut some audio from what actually happens. So let's play this for our listeners, Barry. Just listen in. My guest is Barry Lozada, and he's from Metal State, and they run the World Electronic Sports Games Africa qualifiers, and we'll get into that. But listen to how it all takes place.
Not only that, they found a kill against the Baguette, right? Still made it in, 17 HP. They break Na'Vi here, and they pretty much wrap it all up, but it's all down to Drake, and first find is successful on Simple. AWP still in position, bombs up, planet flash, no, didn't catch him! He's got the bomb down, Flamey, he knows where he is! What in God's name? He's down from Draken! Forget snacks, that's a hero play!
I actually flashed the flanker, I've no idea how. He still gets the kill. It almost looked like Zool had actually come out on top there. What a flick coming in. Shroud getting one, another headshot. He's tapping away. Shroud, can he do it again? He's up to 11 kills and looking for number 12. Are you kidding me, Shroud? 4 kills. Can anyone take this man down? He's got 12 and 0.
It's in the open. He's going to have to rethink that post plant. This setup is getting torn apart. Look, it's back in again. The third kill on the way through. He gets shut down, but Hobbit's got to find two more.
Oh, yeah.
Angle. Same angle.
The pressure applied, but we're down 50 seconds.
All right. Okay. So that is just a piece of what actually happens. It is thrilling, don't you think? I can feel the exhilaration the way you would, you know, if there's a goal that happens on the field, if you're watching football. Barry, that is thrilling stuff.
I'll be dead honest with you. I can tell you exactly when and where each one of those specific situations happened. You have over anywhere between 1 million to 2.5 million people watching these games online.
Wow.
And every moment is the most heart-thrilling or heart-wrenching situation.
Mm.
$1 million on the line, and every moment those guys, every moment that they can pull something off, score that winning try, score that winning goal, the exact same thing applies to esports, where every second and every little reaction counts, and that's where it all comes from, that excitement.
Yeah, and just great admiration of what these sportcasters are able to do, people like yourselves. It's absolutely impressive. So where can we watch?
So a lot of these games happen on on a streaming platform called Twitch, twitch.tv, and Metal State would be, so it'll be twitch.tv/Metal State. But generally, if you Google esports or ESL or Metal State, you will find some way to watch some form of esports. And if you follow those social media platforms, there's actually places where you can enter and actually participate in these events, in these esports events online. I mean, the beauty of esports is you don't actually need a field to make it happen. You can just switch on your PC and you're in an arena.
And that's why it's got to, it's become as popular as it has. In fact, marketers are saying that it is the next big thing, that if you're not looking or considering how you can integrate your brand or have some kind of part to play as a brand, then you're losing out on this global audience.
I think it's important to differentiate in the sense that it is the next best thing, but there's already almost 400 million people watching this. And the simple truth of it is that the hardest thing for most marketing companies or marketers or even just brands to understand or realize is that this is not the same as your conventional marketing platforms. This is not a billboard. This is not a sign on the road. This is a sport where you've got people watching and they're investing time. So some of these tournaments start on a Tuesday and they run all the way through to a Monday with nothing less than 250,000 people watching, and your brand is attached and plastered across this. There's no adverts. Your logo is just on the screen. But, you know, like I said, in Africa, in South Africa, we're still catching up to that scenario where we have the kind of investment that's needed to make this big enough for people to want to get involved.
Wow. And yeah, I do want to take calls. If you have questions for Barry, you can do so on 011-883-0702. Maybe you've also participated in the past, or maybe you have a partner in your house that you live with who is spending this 10 to however many hours practicing and competing on these computer games. I'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs and for your WhatsApps and voice notes on 072-702-1702. Now, South Africa participated. We did qualify to participate in when was it? Last week?
Yes, we ran that qualifier.
The qualifier last week. And how did that go? Are we starting to see the teams coming together that will represent us in China?
We need those opportunities. So with organizations like Ali Sports, who are backed by Alibaba in China, running these events like World Electronic Sports Games, giving countries like Africa and South Africa an opportunity to have an opportunity to play overseas, gives us the experience that we need. You know, if the Springboks were only able to play the rugby teams within Africa, they wouldn't be as good as they are today. And that's exactly what needs to happen for South African esports, is our teams need to go overseas and they need to compete against these other international teams and be able to get into these competitions so that they can play and build their skill level up. And because we're so far down in the bottom of the country, of the world, we're struggling to get those opportunities. But now that we're starting to pick up and get these opportunities, I can tell you now that it is only a matter of time before esports explodes in South Africa. And we have seen competing on a regular basis overseas.
Let's hear from Yasin calling from Johannesburg CBD. Hi, Yasin.
Hi, how's it?
Good, thank you. Welcome.
Love it. I've got a 16-year-old kid. I tell you, this son of mine drives me crazy. He sits on that game till 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
How do I get him to get involved into this tournament thing?
Okay.
That's the first question. And the second question is, being a sport, are you affiliated to Mind Sport as an organization, or is it not affiliated to any sporting code within the country?
Okay. Thank you, Yasin. Barry?
Okay. So firstly, I mean, the same as any sport, you need to have a healthy amount of time within the game and a healthy amount of time out of the game. Mm. You know, if you look at any of these professional teams, they have fitness instructors, they have health dietitians, they have trainers, personal trainers, and everything like that. So, you know, if someone wanted to be able to take this further, you would look for a team to play with, or get online and go to places like Metal State and see what kind of competitions are available. Mm. See where you can sign up. If the specific game you played, don't forget, not all games are competitive. So, you know, just as much as bowls is a sport, it's not something a lot of people are going to want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So that the same applies to esports. So go online, have a look, look up esports, look up Medal State, look for local tournaments and competitions, and find out what you can, what your son can enter into and be involved in. Because the simple truth is that there's a lot of opportunities out there to get involved.
And is there a mixing of ages?
Generally, what happens is, I mean, there's no age limit, but some of the games have age restrictions.
Yes.
So there is a line there where the younger guys tend to play specific games, and mm-hmm. then as they get older, they would transgress into the other games.
Oh, right. And any affiliation to any codes?
No, we are affiliated to ESIC, which is the Esports Independent Coalition. It's an international brand which falls and covers most of the major tournaments organizers around the world.
Right. Barry, I just have a few more calls and we're running out of time. So let's hear from Ali in Hartbeespoort. Hello, Ali.
Hi, Azania. Hi. Hi, your guest.
Welcome.
I have a quick question. I have a 16-year-old son who's very much interested in gaming. Mm. It's very good, actually. But he's interested in building up games and obviously participating in the esports gaming. We decided to homeschool her with my wife, or homeschool him. We just need to find out what's the easiest step we can do so that we want to incorporate this gaming thing into his curriculum as well.
All right. Maybe what coding is something you should look into for him, you know, if he wants to build programs, if he wants to build games, and at the same time also playing. So I think, Barry, you answered that. You said there's a lot of information online. You just have to search esport.
There is.
All right.
There is, absolutely. Development and coding is one of the things to work in as well. And sorry, just to add, there's so many fields of work within esports: cameramen, makeup artists, producers, graphic designers, web developers, shoutcasters, hosts, you name it, there's anything. If you imagine the film industry, esports is exactly the same.
Yeah, just the other day I got a comment from my son saying he wants to be a commentator. And I said, what? What happened to the engineering? A commentator? Grant, a quick one from you. You've got 30 seconds left.
Yes, Azania Berry. I just want to know, my son's also addicted. Mm. What's a healthy amount of time to be spent at any one given time doing this, because he's developing an esports body, which I think you could advertise for McDonald's, but he doesn't want to get off. So what's healthy?
Yeah, there's also an SMS saying, what about gaming addiction? Barry, what's your advice?
So as I said to you earlier, the simple fact is when you think of any sports, whether it be football, soccer, cricket, those guys, and we're talking on the top tier now, okay? So if you're sitting at home playing and you're not competing for money, you're not a top tier player yet. But the simple fact is those guys are only putting in 2 to 3 hours at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple fact is, if you look at any of the top teams, like I said, they have nutritionists, they have personal trainers.
Mm-hmm.
These guys cannot look anything like they're a sponsor for McDonald's or whatever. And I'm not saying that these guys don't eat unhealthily. And the simple fact is, as a teenager, you can put that kind of stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I do that, I get the completely reverse effect. But as a teenager, you just consume all the stuff and your body fuels off of it, but you can't be competitive. Those the sugar levels and the down lows that you get after eating these kinds of things don't help you as a professional sports person. And if you eat healthy, you live healthy, that's when it starts to reflect in your gaming as well.
Right. So teach them that balance. If they want to be good at it,
absolutely,
they also have to look after themselves. Barry, thank you so much and all of the best. I know that the games are happening in China in March. All the best. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you. Cheers.
From Medal State, that was Barry Lozada, and they run the World Electronic Sports Games Africa chapter.